You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Mother's Day's this weekend, and we all know how much moms sacrifice for their offspring. But what about the actual physical sacrifices of becoming a mother? We've got a great interview with Civic Media's Dr. Kristen Lyerly coming up in about 20 minutes. We're also asking, what do moms really want? And guess who has the answer? That's right, Amanda Nimmer. This issue also includes stories on travel and tourism in the state and how the city of Green Bay is dealing with losing AmeriCorps funding for a popular program. Pete Schwabe has his classic cinema pick of the week, and later on, original music from Robert J. Plus, learn how an organization known as Mama helped his family when they most needed it. First, whether you have a mom, are a mom or a mother figure, if your kids are human or the furry kind, every mom's journey is different. Our Terry Barr sits down with a woman who's back in Wisconsin this weekend to spend Mother's Day with her mom. And the celebration is a little bigger since Madison Malone is now a mother too. She shares her story of finding a successful career in California, meeting her wife, the other mother to their son, and how her own mom's traditions are more important now than ever before. Be sure to listen to the end for a beautiful surprise we can all relate to this Mother's Day. Here's Terry with Madison to open up this issue of New Wisco Weekend.
I've always been in awe of my mom and respected every choice she's made and how hard she's worked. But after having my son, everything just hit me harder. All parents, really, what they have to do in order to raise a good human and the responsibility of that and what it looks like to give somebody a set of wings and guide them, but not crowd them or dim their light. I am so happy I get to spend Mother's Day with my mom and my son, you know, three generations together celebrating all that motherly love.
Do you have any funny or interesting memories from past Mother's Day with your mom?
Well, you know, it's funny. So ever since becoming a mom, this is hilarious. So my spouse is my wife, and so we're two women, of course. And what I remember from Mother's Day with my mom, like, we tried to do something special for my mom, make her art, maybe make her breakfast, but we would usually go out together and go get breakfast or go do something. I know, like, some friends of mine, they're like, all right, I'm going to the spa all day. So in my family, it wasn't really that. My mom would hang out with us. We'd all be together for Mother's Day. But my wife and I, since we're both two moms, we're like, okay, how do we do this? But it's actually just turning into exactly what I remember my Mother's Days being.
Because you're a mom now, I actually want to hear about your experiences. Do you feel it's changed you? What do you love about it?
Yeah, I'm a completely different person. I am much more sure of who I am and what my goals are. I have a purpose now. I have somebody who's looking to me. I want to do well for him and help create a legacy. And as I look at my music career, I want to be able to create something that he's able to be involved in. If he's interested in music, I want to be the person who can open that world to him. If he's interested in something else, I will also help foster that. Definitely with how I move as an individual too throughout the music industry, especially in Los Angeles, it's a very cutthroat industry and there's a lot of things happening. But if I'm ever in a rut or if I feel like somebody is giving me attitude or a different vibe in real life, I'm just like, I pushed a baby out of my body. So there's nothing you can do that will make me feel less than. I did not know how much individually I would change, how much more confident I would become, or how much more sure of my craft I would be. I have a song out called Bravo, which is my son's name, and I wrote him a lullaby before he was born.
We gave you a name in April. We picked out a crib in July. You came to our arms in the autumn. Now we'll hold you for the rest of our lives. Mama will make us big dinners. We'll sit down with all those we love. Stay up till 2 in the morning, saying this is what it's all about.
Terry Barr for New Wisco Weekend.
Every single one of us here at New Wisco Weekend is a mom or has a mom, and we know what moms want. Well, at least Amanda Nimmer does. Here she is.
What do moms want, truly want, for Mother's Day? The answer is very simple. A f***ing break. Yes, getting cards or chocolates or flowers or taking mom out to brunch, those are great things. We love those things. But if you really want to know what we truly desire on a day that's supposed to be dedicated to us, the answer is a freaking break. But Amanda, what does that mean?
I mean, go through Reddit or any type of forum chat where moms truly give honest answers of what they want for Mother's Day, and you'll find responses like a break from making any decisions whatsoever. Don't ask what they want to eat. Don't ask if they want to go do this. Just freaking plan it. Do you know your mother? Do you know the person you made a mother? If you know anything about them at all, plan around it. And if you're not sure, go to a trusted source for approval of what you're about to do. Do not ask the mom to plan her own day. Don't do it. There is nothing worse than feeling like the people you live with every single day couldn't even think of one thing you like to prove that they know you in any capacity other than the role of mother, caregiver, or spouse. Try to find something that proves you know her as an individual, because individuality is so important. A break from us asking anyone to do anything. Clean without being asked to do it. Organize the pantry without being asked to do it. Hire maid service. Anytime someone asks me what I want, like Christmas, birthdays, anything, it's that. Coming home to a house that I did not have to clean is one of the most beautiful things I can imagine. And yes, we love our children. We love our children very much. Our younger, adorable children. But you want to know what we also love? Some freaking peace. Peace. Quiet, and maybe an hour or two where we're not constantly just touched. That would be great. Because yes, a person can get touched out. You can get overstimulated by constantly being climbed on, or just poked in the rib by an elbow, the constant shifting instead of just laying and relaxing. Like, it can be too much, especially because mothers have to deal with it. Parents in general. Sorry, not just mothers. Parents in general have to deal with their tinier children constantly crawling on them all day, every day. It would just be nice to have an hour or two of untouched peace. Yeah, that'd be great. Amanda, you're making it sound like moms don't want to be around anyone for Mother's Day. No. I mean, the idea is intriguing, but no. Mothers love their children. They love the people who made them mothers, I think. They love their mothers, perhaps. And again, they love their children, I assume. So does that mean stop with the handmade gifts from school or handwritten cards, the brunches, anything stereotypical that you give to a mom on Mother's Day? No, absolutely don't. We love those things. It's the thought that truly counts. But if you're asking on a deeper level what a mom really wants and you really want to comply, it's simple. A break from making decisions, a break from being in charge, a break from maintaining the household, a break. And that doesn't mean that no one does it. It would just be great if someone else did the maintaining work without being asked. That is the biggest thing. Without being asked. It's about being seen, feeling heard, and not feeling like you're running the ship alone. And then the second thing that we want is some frickin' pampering. Spa day it up. And if you can't afford the spa, you can makeshift one at home. A good foot rub, have the kids do mom's nails. That's cute. We can always take it off later. A massage that doesn't end up in the horizontal tango position, and ending the day with cuddles on the couch and taking that moment to remember that you created this, and this is what it's really about. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and to every single mom or every single person who has had to step in to the mother role, happy Mother's Day.
You taught me everything, everything you've given me, I always keep it inside. You're the driving force in my life. Yeah. There isn't anything or anyone that I could be, and it just wouldn't feel right.
When we come back, AmeriCorps is out. So what happens to the 13 Green Bay members now out of a job? And our cover story with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. But first, more than 84% of people are planning to celebrate Mother's Day this weekend. But if you can't be together in person, moms answering this survey say a phone call, not a text or a message, but an actual call, is the next best thing to being there. This is New Wisco Weekend.
Mama, mama, you know I love you. Ooh, you know I love you. Mama, mama, you're the queen of my heart.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is New Wisco Weekend on your local Civic Media radio station, WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. We're celebrating Mother's Day in this issue. The National Retail Federation's new survey shows flowers remain the top gift bought for mom. Now let's shift gears just a little bit to Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
Have you ever wanted a chance for a post-high school redo? If so, you might want to see what happens in this week's classic pick, Peggy Sue Got Married. This fantasy drama hit theaters in 1986 and stars Kathleen Turner as Peggy Sue and Nicolas Cage as her boyfriend and husband, Charlie, an aspiring rock and roll star. The couple has dated since high school and married young after Peggy Sue got pregnant. Their relationship has been rocky, but they have two kids. Despite their troubles, Peggy Sue decides to attend her 25th year high school class reunion and takes her daughter, Beth, played by Helen Hunt. Things get complicated when Charlie arrives, and even more complicated when Peggy Sue faints after being named reunion queen opposite a former class nurse who is now a multimillionaire. After fainting, Peggy Sue is transported back to 1960 as a high school senior and given a second chance to restart her life. She does some exploring while trying to figure out what happened, but as it turns out, she realizes if she takes a different path, she will never meet the two most important people to her, who she is reminded of when Charlie gives her a locket.
Here. It's a birthday present. I'm tired of being the romantic fool. I'm gonna go stay in my car.
Charlie?
It opens, too. Look inside.
Scott and Beth. Where did you get this?
Who are Scott and Beth? Your mother gave me those. It's you and me. You know that.
So are they. Oh, Charlie. Oh, I do love you.
I love you.
In addition to being reminded of her children, one of the sweetest scenes in the movie is a brief scene where Peggy goes home after waking up at 18 again and sees her mom for the first time in years. Wouldn't we all want to see someone special to us if we had the chance again? Especially our moms? The movie is well cast with Turner, Cage, and Hunt, and there is a young pre-famous Jim Carrey who plays one of Cage's character's bandmates. Director Sofia Coppola is also in the movie, which including Cage equals three members of the Coppola clan. Peggy Sue Got Married is directed by Coppola patriarch and filmmaking legend Francis Ford Coppola. Fun fact, all three members of the family involved in this film are Oscar winners. Coppola has won 5 Academy Awards, 3 for writing, 1 for directing, and 1 for producing. Nicolas Cage won a Best Actor Oscar for Leaving Las Vegas in 1996, and Sofia Coppola won for Best Screenplay in 2004 with Lost in Translation. These particular Coppolas are not the only ones in the business. You may or may not know that Talia Shire, who played Connie in The Godfather, and Adrian in Rocky, is Francis Ford's sister. Her son, Jason Schwartzman, Francis's nephew, and Sophia and Nicolas Cage's cousin, is also an actor who starred in Rushmore and Moonrise Kingdom. What would you do if you could reset your life? See if you like the way Peggy Sue Got Married ends and ask yourself if you would do anything differently. At the very least, it's fun to think about and a great movie. Enjoy Peggy Sue Got Married. It's this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabe.
Happy Mother's Day from all of us at New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS.
The Trump administration's cuts to AmeriCorps funding has threatened to shut down the Green Bay Conservation Corps, as it did for similar programs nationwide. This week, the Green Bay Council members voted to reclassify the 13 Conservation Corps positions to 13 seasonal positions to bridge the funding for a short period of time. The city's finance committee initially proposed funding for the Conservation Corps for $26,000, or 1 month. However, Green Bay Alderman Joey Presley proposed an amendment to fund the 13 members for the rest of their AmeriCorps program year.
We have, to put it lightly, been very fortunate to have the Conservation Corps in our community. They are doing things like removing invasives, the buckthorn, the phragmites that have been filling up different green areas and planting native plants. They have really, in a short amount of time, relatively made our city more green, more sustainable, and more climate resilient.
The council voted unanimously to use $115,000 in ARPA interest funds to fund the program through August. The Conservation Corps improves parks, trails, and other public spaces by removing invasive species, restoring native plants, and helping to reduce flooding in some areas. Conservation Corps Director Maria Otto.
These are the most dedicated and passionate people you will ever meet. They don't do this to get rich. They don't do this to get famous. They do it because they're committed to community service. They're committed to Green Bay and making this area better for everyone. They're out in 0-degree weather, they're out in 100-degree weather, rain, snow, because they know that what they're doing has an incredible impact.
Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich said that while this vote will help the Conservation Corps continue through the summer and will allow them to finish projects, he isn't sure it will be able to continue without federal support.
But it's really a Band-Aid. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch, and it hasn't been that for the city of Green Bay. We put real money up to make this program happen, but it's a 3-to-1 match, right? And so we would have to come up with 3 times the dollar amount that we've allocated for this. I think it'd be very difficult for us to find the dollars to continue operating a program of this scale.
In an earlier press release about the cuts, Genrich says he supports Governor Tony Evers' lawsuit challenging the termination of nearly $400 million in AmeriCorps grants. He also encouraged Wisconsin's congressional delegation to oppose these cuts. Assembly District 90 Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner was among the first to heed Genrich's call. During a press conference, he noted that he worked with AmeriCorps for several years and called attention to its bipartisan nature.
Over 30 years of specific bipartisan support has AmeriCorps engendered, meaning that for the vast majority of my life and the previous generation, this program has never seen the partisan bickering that we often see at the national level and sometimes can trickle down to the local level. For the first time ever, we're watching how partisan politics can really have a negative impact at a local level for something that has a complete positive impact for this community.
Meanwhile, 8th District Congressman Tony Weed is backing the cuts to AmeriCorps by issuing this statement. Quote, House Republicans are working to ensure that taxpayer dollars are spent wisely after decades of out-of-control federal spending. While programs like AmeriCorps are generally beneficial to our region, we need to evaluate taxpayer-funded programs on a case-by-case basis to ensure every dollar is spent effectively. End quote. AmeriCorps is a federal agency for national service and volunteerism. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
When the evening shadows fall and the lovely day is through, then with longing I recall the years I spent with you, Mama.
Still ahead on New Wisco Weekend, we've got our cover story with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. If your mom or you as a mom are trying to do it all but are feeling exhausted, there's now a name for it. It's depleted mother syndrome. And doctors with the Cleveland Clinic say if you can quit the comparison game, you'll win the biggest part of the battle. They suggest doing what's right for you and your family. That might mean going to bed at night instead of taking care of another chore, or simply saying no and being okay with letting something go. We'll be back right after the news. This is New Wisco Weekend. For WISS and WGBW, I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's time now for our cover story. And today I am thrilled to have with me Civic Media's host of the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Welcome.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm so excited to be with you today and so excited about this new show that we have. There's so much good stuff happening on Civic Media.
There really is. And your show is phenomenal. I've been listening, and every time there's something different that I take away from it. And while your show is more serious, well, I'm not saying that New Wisco Weekend isn't serious, but we tend to try to make it a little bit lighter. Mm-hmm. But that kind of just, it really pairs nicely with the more serious stuff that we have on. And I appreciate everything that you're doing. But that's not why I have you on today, even though we do want to mention that your show is on 3 o'clock Sundays here on WGBW and WISS.
And Saturdays.
Oh, it's on Saturdays too.
Yes, and just like New Wisco Weekend, and on the Civic Media app.
Yes. So please check it out. I love how you did that. But the reason why I have you on today is, of course, you know, this week we're getting ready for Mother's Day. We always hear the stories about being a mom, the things that moms sacrifice for their kids, or the superhuman energy that comes when somebody is pinned under a car and a mom's able to lift it up. You know, we hear those stories all the time. But nobody has ever really come out and said just exactly what it is that does to your body when you become a mother.
And you being an OBGYN, I know you can talk to this. When we celebrate mothers and the love they give, the attention and the care and all that warm, fuzzy stuff, what do mothers give physically to become a mother?
I could talk about this all day long.
I know you could.
I mean, for some people, pregnancy is fairly easy. It's challenging. You know, you get more tired. Your appetite changes. You know, you can't do the things. Your body is different. You have to wear different clothes. All of that stuff is stuff that you expect. Some people, though, really struggle with pregnancy. Some people have blood pressure problems or diabetes. Some people develop heart conditions. Pregnancy is like a stress test for your body. So if you are likely to develop something later in life, maybe something that you have inherited from your parents or something that you've picked up along the way, you're probably going to start showing signs of that in pregnancy. It's not joyful for everyone. It is for many people, but not for everyone. And importantly, it's not over when the baby comes out. It takes a year for your body to recover from a pregnancy.
That's a long time. That is a long time. Now, I can speak a little bit to this because my sister has had several children. I've been pregnant a couple times, and I will say, you know, in all transparency, I was never able to carry to term. But the changes that you feel almost immediately, you know, you feel the tickles or the tremors of movement. You feel weird cravings. You feel tired, like you said. Just all this stuff that comes in with being a mom. But I have noticed that some mothers, as you mentioned, the gestational diabetes, it can be very hard. Some mothers have to be on bed rest. All of this is related to the physical strain that's put on their body, correct?
Mm-hmm. We don't recommend a lot of bed rest these days because bed rest is actually really, really hard on your body. You would think, you know, you're laying in bed, you're comfortable, living it up. It is hard physically. It is hard mentally on your body. So while we used to recommend a lot of bed rest, typically we don't these days. But, you know, there are lots of other things, like your joints get really loose. I remember being in the garden. I have four sons. I remember being in the garden when I was pregnant, and I would squat down to plant something and I wouldn't be able to get back up again because my knee would pop out. And that's all physiologic. That's so that your pelvis, which is like a bowl, but it's made of different bones that have these tight connections, your pelvis has to expand a little bit in order to let the baby out. So all of your joints get looser. And that also makes it harder to do things like run. If you're an athlete, maybe you're a competitive athlete. Sometimes you see these people who are running marathons. It's really hard on your joints. It's hard on your spine. And like I said earlier, it takes a while for your body to recover. If you're breastfeeding in the postpartum period, your body doesn't snap right back. And I do recommend breastfeeding. It's great for you, great for the baby, if it works for your dyad. But your body doesn't just go back to where it was before. So if you are an exerciser, you can't just run a marathon after you have the baby. You've got to carefully work back up to it, or you're going to end up with an injury like an ACL or worse.
Or worse. And, you know, this is why women's health care is so, so important, because so many changes happen. And, you know, if you're not expecting them, you're sitting there going, what the heck is this? Why am I doing all this all of a sudden? So what do you advise somebody who is either thinking about getting pregnant or has found out that they are pregnant and now needs to go through that journey and hopefully not in the middle of summer being, you know, 9 months pregnant? That's the worst thing. My sister complained about that so much when she was pregnant in the summer. Hated it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you get hot. That's for sure. I would say if you're thinking about getting pregnant, definitely, first of all, take a prenatal vitamin. That's really important to have that folic acid on board because that helps to prevent neural tube defects like spina bifida. So a prenatal vitamin, just any prenatal vitamin does make a difference. If you have access to healthcare, which a lot of people don't, but if you do, it's always a good idea to have a prenatal visit, have a preconception visit with your provider. Talk about the things that you're concerned about. Talk about your risks so that you know what you're going into. And then once you find out you're pregnant, establish care so that we can determine what's going on with your blood pressure. Again, what are your risks? What are the things we need to watch out for? If we know who you are and what the potential concerns are, we can address them. If we don't, and you're out there not getting care, not just physical care, but also mental health care, anxiety and depression are huge in pregnancy and the postpartum period. We can help connect you to the resources that you need in order to have the best possible outcome. Everybody's pregnancy is different, so you need to make sure that your care is tailored specifically to you.
You mentioned something that I did want to hint on, and I thank you for that, and that's the postpartum depression that can come. And it can be completely debilitating. And I have seen people, and this is usually people who have no clue, who have said, we've been giving birth to babies for millennia. This is what is wrong with people? Just suck it up and do it. But it's not that way. It isn't. What is it that causes postpartum depression? It's a chemical imbalance, isn't it?
It is. There are so many things changing in your life. It could be lots of things. And if you have a history of depression, you are at risk. 1 in 3 women will suffer from postpartum depression. Some have it in a very severe manner. So it's really important to make sure that you have contact with a healthcare provider and that the people around you are keeping an eye on you. They may recognize it. You may not even see it in yourself because there's so much changing in your body and in your life. So that's why that support system is so very, very important. This is the number one reason why women die, by the way, in the postpartum period, because they have untreated depression and anxiety, mental health issues that they can't get access to care for. And in Wisconsin, we deny many women access to care. We take away their health insurance at 2 months postpartum.
Which is horrible when you think about it. And it's very difficult to imagine being alone and not having that care. How often do you suggest people come to their healthcare provider, A, when they're pregnant, and B, afterwards? I mean, they should still be working with their healthcare provider, shouldn't they?
Mm-hmm. The current schedule is we have people come in about once a month early in the pregnancy, and then towards the middle part of the pregnancy, it's every 2 weeks, and at the end, it's every week. And the reason for that is blood pressure problems mostly. Things can start to happen towards the end of pregnancy, and we want to make sure that we can catch it. In the postpartum period, we recommend that people come back at 2 weeks and at 6 weeks. And I always tell my patients, if anything doesn't seem right, don't hesitate to call. Typically, after 6 weeks, we let them go back to their regular lives, but we're always there and we always are ready to treat anything that comes up, whether it's a mental health issue, a physical health issue. We like to let our patients know that if they have gestational diabetes, they're going to need additional screening in the future. If they've had a blood pressure problem, they're going to need additional screening in the future. And there may be other things that we need to follow up on. So that relationship with a trusted healthcare provider, a midwife, a family medicine doctor, whoever your person is, that's really, really important. Not just during pregnancy and the postpartum period, but really for all of us, Lisa.
You know, when we're talking about this, it makes me realize even more how important my mother was in raising me. I mean, she had me and 2 other children, my brother and my sister, and she raised us alone. She was a single mom and raised us alone, which was, you know, you sit there and you go, my sainted mother did this and she took care. But what we put her body through is, I think, something that I don't think we've ever really thought about it. She was 4'10" and a half, weighed 90 pounds, soaking wet. So could you imagine this tiny, tiny little woman carrying around 3 big children? So, you know, I just think that it's something that when people say, well, we have Mother's Day, we have Father's Day, yada, yada, blah, blah. It's not. Mamas do a lot more and have done a lot more with their body than people realize. And I want to thank you for coming on to talk about that today. All this led up to one thing I wanted to say, and that was my mother told me all of my life, and I would call her on my birthday and thank her for giving birth. But all of my life,
I love that.
When I would call her on my birthday, she would say, and I was in labor with you for 36 hours on the hottest day of the year. Every time she would remind me. So,
I told my son that he was a parasite the other day, because they are. They pull calcium out of your bones. He was wordless. He had nothing. He
could Of course, he had nothing he could come back with. So before I let you go, one more time, when does your show air on Civic Media, and what are the types of things we can hear from you?
We are on at 3 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday and on the Civic Media app. And we talk about everything. I'm so excited about this weekend. We've got the town chair from the town of Freedom, Justin Schumacher, who also happens to be the director of parks from Outagamie County. And he's talking about, you know, he's a young guy. He's talking about his perspective on politics, on government, how government works in a town like Freedom, and how what's happening on a much higher level is affecting the people that he is committed to serving. It's a great conversation. And it's not all heavy, Lisa. We put fun in it. Nobody wants to listen to doom and gloom all the time. We talk about serious things, but we also inject it with lightness and goodness. And we really try to focus on Wisconsin, specifically Northeast Wisconsin.
I love that. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you. Dr. Kristen Lyer, check out her show, The Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show, on Civic Media.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this. Mama said.
We're wrapping up National Travel and Tourism Week, and Brittany Merlot tells us how Wisconsin is faring.
The data from last year comes out next month, but in 2023, Wisconsin's tourism industry saw a 5.4% increase from the prior year and raked in $25 billion. We also welcomed 113 million visits and saw the highest ever overnight stays at nearly 46 million, breaking records again year after year. And on average, the people sticking around longer tend to spend about 3 times more than a person stopping by for just the day. This has economically grown every single county in the state. It's also supported over 178,000 part-time jobs and generated $1.6 billion in state revenue. Governor Evers wants to contribute to the growth of the industry. In his 25-27 budget, he wants to invest in the Wisconsin Arts Board, hire more staff for Wisconsin Office of Outdoor Recreation, and add incentives to bring more film productions, TV shows, and creative endeavors to our doorstep. And of course, continue promoting Wisconsin as a premier business, cultural, and recreational destination, as well as establish a new grant program to support Wisconsin's rural creative economies. For Civic Media News, I'm Brittany Merlot.
Coming up, we've got one dad salute to Mama. And if you're enjoying a meal with Mom this weekend, great! Your celebration could include one of the food holidays, like May Burger Month, Barbecue Day, which is next week, or Sunday is also Eat Whatever You Want Day. Sounds like a delicious way to spend some time together. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. He's Wisconsin-based, but Robert J. tours the Midwest, sharing his original songs of family, friends, and life events. And Mother's Day is extra special after he and his wife almost lost their son due to a rare medical condition. It's also when an organization known as Mama stepped in to help. Here's Robert J. with Terry Barr.
Stocking up on TP, cause it just hit the fan. Canceling our activities. Remember to wash your hands. No school, no shows, no sports, no more basketball. We're marching into madness, the saddest march of all. No elbow bumps, no fist bumps, just social distancing. Sanitizers and face masks, travel bans and quarantine. No work, no gigs, no tips, no checks, no basketball. Marching into madness, the saddest march of all. It's times like these we all just got to come together. Reach reach out, stay connected, try to help one another. So my friend, if you're running low, I could spare a couple rolls. I'll leave them out on the front porch, just drive by, grab them and go.
A song of the year for musician Robert J. And Robert J. joins me right now. Thank you, Robert. Tell me about the song we just heard, The Saddest March of All.
That all came about because COVID hit just as, you know, March Madness was going to happen. And I'd like to follow the Badger basketball. And then they closed the tournament down. They closed everything down in the country pretty much. I just said, well, this is kind of a sad March. That's a little slice of what happened in our life.
You are director of Mama Cares. And for people who don't know it, it's part of the Madison Area Music Association. What pulled you in to get you involved in Mama Cares?
Well, this all started the Christmas of 2014. My son had a perfect Christmas, and then between Christmas and New Year's, he got very sick, and we couldn't figure out what it was. They hospitalized him, and they realized he had a golf ball size infection in his left temporal lobe and operated immediately. He was in the hospital for 17 days, and he almost didn't make it. From that, I missed a lot of work. My wife missed a lot of work, and we had insurance, but at the same time, there's a lot of out-of-pocket expenses going on. Good old Rick Toit, the co-founder and leader of the Mamas, and my good friend Chris Wagner from the Moon Gypsies threw a benefit for me at the High Noon, and over 350 people showed up. And from that, I just felt that it was necessary to pay it forward. So I recommended that we start a program called Mama Cares to help other musicians in need. My son's doing great now. He's survived. We're blessed to be in a city like Madison with world-class health care. Man, we're lucky to be here.
How did that feel to have all those people come out to help you, knowing that then obviously you wanted to turn it around and try to help somebody else?
It was a humbling experience, you know. I still get teared up about it. To have that kind of support, it's just incredible. We make our money by having these little fundraisers. So what we've done is raise money, and every cent we raise, we give away to help fellow musicians in need or their families if they're in a family crisis of some sort. We've raised and given out $109,000 so far. We help as we can. You know, we can never pay somebody's entire monetary problems, but we pitch in as we can. I'm proud that we've been able to help other musicians, because how many times we've all been to events or benefits for somebody in need, whether it's a musician or not. And who pitches in? The bands. We've all played for free. We've all played for the cause. And now we're asking for the community to come together and help us raise money so we can help other musicians.
Before I let you go, we're going to end with another one of your award-winning songs. Tell us about this one, A Beautiful Blur.
I got that idea just because it seems like life is going by so fast. It's like a blur. We have our ups and downs, and we all have. You know, it's a blur, and we just got to celebrate that and enjoy it while we can. Find the goodness in everything and try to hold on to that.
Speaking of celebrating, congratulations on your newest grandbaby.
Oh, thank you.
As we end this, here is his gorgeous song, A Beautiful Blur. Thank you, Robert J.
Thank you, Terry Barr.
I'm staring down the headlights that shine me on this road, reliving all my past lives, wondering how many more to go. I'm in the middle of the road. Middle of the road. I'm counting my blessings that I've made it this far. And I caught myself confessing to the dashboard of my car. I'm in the middle of the road. In the middle of the road. It's a beautiful blur. It's a beautiful blur. like. But these paths that I follow have led me to a place where it seems my dreams have turned out alright. It's a beautiful blur.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend and our look at Mother's Day. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. Lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features from Brittany Merlot, Peach Waba, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email us anytime, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.